Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going towards the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they've laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her.
Morning, everybody. Helen, thanks very much for reading. Happy Easter, everybody. Christ is risen. Good, you've been well taught. This may or may not surprise you to know, but I absolutely love Easter. I mean, Christmas is good, isn't it? But for me, there's something just particularly special about Easter, particularly brilliant, about Jesus' death and his resurrection, what that means for who he is, and what it means for us as well. And this morning, we're going to think about two reasons why Easter is especially brilliant. Now, in the run-up to Easter in church, some of the grown-ups have been looking at some of the things that Jesus said whilst he was dying on the cross. But he's not on the cross anymore, is he? He came back to life. So this morning, we're going to look at the first thing that Jesus says after coming back from the dead when he meets Mary Magdalene in a passage in the Bible that Helen just read for us. It's verse 15, if you want to find it in your Bibles. It's going to be on the screen as well. You can get your mum or dad or another helpful grown-up to help you. There it is. And in that verse, if you can see it, Jesus asks two questions, doesn't he? I wonder if any of the children can tell me what those two questions are. What's the first one? Anyone tell me? Nathan, what is it? Right, yeah, why are you weeping? That's question number one. Anybody tell me what question number two is? Who are you seeking? Yeah, that's right. Thanks, Jonathan. Why are you weeping? Who are you seeking? Now, I think there's something a little bit funny about those two questions, and it's this. Jesus already knows the answers. He already knows the answers to those questions, doesn't he? Now, kids, have you ever asked somebody a question that you already know the answer to? I reckon you probably have. Grown-ups do this sort of thing all the time. Mostly, I think, to show off that we already have the answer, but we don't want to be too obvious, too sort of boasty about it. Or we might do it to test you and see if you're telling the truth, like asking you if you've brushed your teeth yet this morning when we know that you haven't, and we just want to see if you'll admit the fact so we can get you to go and do it. Anyway, Jesus knows why Mary is weeping. She's weeping because her close friend, the man she's followed as her teacher, as her master for the last couple of years, has died. Jesus has died. The day before yesterday, he was nailed to a cross by the Romans and he died. So of course Mary is weeping. And to make matters worse, his body's gone missing. Early that morning she went to the tomb and Jesus' body wasn't there. As she says in verse 12, when the angels ask her the same question, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Which I guess answers that second question as well, doesn't it? Whom are you seeking? Well, she's looking for Jesus. She's looking for his body so that she can keep on mourning him. So there's a bit of a mystery in this verse, isn't there? If Jesus already knows the answers, why is he asking these questions? Well, I think it's because Jesus being raised from the dead, coming out of the tomb, his resurrection, it massively and dramatically changes both of those things, the weeping and the seeking. So we're going to look at each of them in turn. First, the weeping. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you cried about something? Now, that's quite a personal question, so you don't have to shout it out loud or tell the person next to you. I just want you to have a think about what was the last thing that made you cry? Kids, if it does help, you can talk to your mum and dad about it. We've had some people for whom that last time is this morning. Some of us might have to reach a little bit further back into our memory banks. But just make sure you've got something in your head that you're thinking of the last time that you cried about something. We cry for all kinds of reasons, don't we? I was talking to Lucas about this in the car this morning. Sometimes we cry because we fall over and hurt ourselves as a kind of physical pain. Sometimes the pain isn't physical, though. Sometimes it's emotional. We cry because we didn't get something that we wanted. That's sort of the tears of anger, isn't it? Or we cry because one of our favourite toys is broken. We cry because someone has said something hurtful to us. We cry because we've had a piece of bad news that has upset us. Sometimes we cry because someone we know and love is sad and we're kind of sad with them because we love them. And sometimes we cry just because we don't really know what else to do. Everybody Hurts sang REM back in the early 90s. Everybody cries and we're all different. Some of us cry more easily than others, but we cry, don't we? You cry. I cry. And the first person Jesus meets after rising from the dead is a woman crying. This woman, Mary Magdalene, not his mum, that's a different Mary. Mary Magdalene this is. Now, as we said, we all know why she's crying, but I've got a visual aid to help us remind us all. And I need a volunteer to come and help me hold it. So, Martha, yours was the first hand up, and it's good that it was because it's more or less the same job you had on Friday, so I know you can do it. So what I need to do is come and stand on this chair. Oh no, I've had a prop issue with the gaffer tape. Let me just do a running repair here. This wood makes an excellent cross, but a really poor adhesive surface. Right, okay. Now, what I'd like you to do, Martha, is hold this. Can anybody tell me who the character on the cross is? Can you hold it just in front of me? On the front, though, Martha, so don't give... You can see what's coming, so don't give the game away. Anybody tell me who the character on the front is? Sadness. Yeah, somebody said it. Sadness. So this is Sadness from the film Inside Out. Some of you might not have seen this film, but it is really good. This character's kind of a personification of the emotion of sadness, if you haven't seen the film. So I put a picture of sadness on the cross because the cross made Mary sad, didn't it? Seeing her close friend, her teacher, her master die in such a cruel and painful way. I mean, things don't get much sadder than that, do they? Sadness is part of life, not least because death is a part of life. Friends, family members, loved ones die. And when that happens, that's really sad, isn't it? Death is kind of the ultimate sadness, if you like. But Jesus rose from the dead. He defeated death. And so in him, sadness, and this is the difficult bit, Martha, you need to duck down a little bit because otherwise he'll get you in the head. Sadness is turned to... Well, I'm going to duck with you. There we go. Perfect. Now, can anyone tell me who this is? Hannah, who is it?
Joy.
That's brilliant. So this is the character Joy from the same film, a personification of the emotion Joy. Sadness is turned to joy. The resurrection that we remember at Easter is... It turns sadness into joy. Weeping is turned to rejoicing. Mary doesn't need to keep crying about Jesus being dead, does she? Because he's risen from the dead. He's come out of the tomb. Christ is risen. So, what do you think, kids? Do you think this means that we'll never be sad again, never cry again? What do you reckon? No, I can hear a few no's, some faint no's. It doesn't, does it? I mean, we still cry, and sometimes we cry quite a lot. Jesus coming back from the dead does not mean that nothing sad will ever happen to us ever again, nor does it mean that when bad things do happen, it's kind of wrong to cry. As if, you know, if anybody's crying, we can just say, look, Christ is risen, why are you weeping? That would be quite insensitive, wouldn't it? We still cry, and that is fine, but Jesus' resurrection, Easter, means that sadness is not the end of the story. There will come a day when we will cry no more. And when sometimes we feel kind of stuck in the sadness, seemingly without end, we need this comfort and this hope, don't we? I think one of the most beautiful repeated pictures in the Bible of God's love for his people is the way that he deals with our tears, the way he turns our sadness into joy. As David writes in Psalm 30, weeping may last for the night, but joy comes with the morning. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You've loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. And I think Jesus' resurrection is a little taster, a preview of that great final day when Jesus comes back to take his people to live forever with him in a new and perfect world in heaven. And this is what things will be like. Some words from the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 21. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Easter means that weeping is turned to joy. Sadness is not the end of the story. And so if you are sad this Easter, then it's not like this stuff kind of just magically makes you feel happy, but it means that there is hope, real solid hope that the crying will not last forever because death and darkness have been defeated. Christ is risen. This is the morning to end all mourning, if you get what I mean. We're going to have a little break before we look at the second question, the seeking one. And while we have a break from listening to me, we're going to stand and sing a song all about that resurrection hope that we have in Jesus, in Christ alone. So Martha, you can sit down. Thanks, you've done excellently. Let's give her a little clap. That's it. And let's stand and sing. For a dead body, but she's found a living Lord. And I just want to say, maybe there is something in there for those of us who feel like we're searching for something this morning, searching for meaning, searching for purpose, searching for God maybe, for someone who will love us, accept us, forgive us. If that's you, then Easter means that you can meet Jesus, to borrow the title of our recent week of events. The seeking can become finding. You can find what you're looking for. If you feel lost, you can be found by the living, risen, real Jesus. Jesus is alive, we can all meet him and find him from the youngest to the oldest. And when we do find him, we find him to be so much greater, so much more glorious than we could ever have realized. So, seeking is turned to finding. Nathan is right, but that's not the end of the story. I've got one more little activity for us to do, and for this I need 8 volunteers. We've already had you, Martha, so let's just run around other hands. We've got Nathan, Daniel, Hannah, Jonathan, Lucas, Hannah. How many is that? Come out to the front. You need to come out to the front. Oh, we've got, is that Olivia at the back there as well? Olivia, how many am I up to? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And we need one more, do we? One more. Joseph's being volunteered. It's always nice when your friends do that to you. Don't worry, Joseph, I don't think this is a bad thing. Now, what I want us to do is to get into pairs. So let's have Lucas and Jonathan as one pair. Let's have Hannah and Hannah as another pair, because that just sort of makes sense, doesn't it? We'll have Nathan and Daniel as a pair, because you two are brothers, you go together. And that means, Joseph, you can pair with Olivia. Is that all right? Right, now, who here among you guys has done an Easter egg hunt? Have you ever done one of those? Yeah, so you're right, you may have some idea of what's coming next. We're going to do an Easter egg hunt, but it's going to be a little bit different. Rather than looking for eggs, I'm going to get you to look for some people. Because Mary wasn't looking for eggs, was she? She was looking for a person. She was looking for Jesus. So the way it's going to work is in each pair, one of you is going to be standing on the chair, giving directions to tell the person where they ought to go. And the other one is going to be going among the rest of you, trying to find the person that I describe. So, Joseph and Olivia, I'm pretty confident you'll be able to do this very well, so you can go first. Who wants to be standing on the chair? Jonathan, you're not in that pair. Let's get Joseph to do it. You stand on the chair. Now, what I'd like you to do is I would like you to find... So, Olivia, you're going to go out and do it, but Joseph, you can tell her directions. Find somebody who's wearing a dark red hat. So look out, and then off you go. Well, just Olivia, the rest of you guys stay here. Your turn will come. Joseph, if you can find somebody who's wearing a red woolly hat. Can you see? Olivia, you can run out and start having a look as well. Can you spot anybody who's wearing a red hat? If you're sat in the congregation, you could help, maybe. If you're sat near somebody and you think... Oh, right. We got somebody over there. Right, go over there and stand next to the person it is. See if they've got something for you. What have we got? What have you got, Olivia? Shout it out. Or hold it up. Two Easter eggs. Right, bring them round to the front. And what I'd like you two to do, Joseph, climb down. And you two just go and stand over this side of the chair because you've done yours. Right, let's have Hannah and Hannah next. But you're dressed to match. It's brilliant. You're like you're in a team strip. Who wants to stand on the chair? Oh, now, you see, one of you knows that one of them got chocolate, so I think let's get Hannah Robinson to stand on the chair. Well, that worked surprisingly well. Right. Okay, now, I would like you to find somebody who is in a blue and white dress who was playing a trombone. Who do you think that might be? Right, off you go. Do you think, shout to the other Hannah so she knows where she's going. Yeah, where are you going, Hannah? Do the pointing. Over there, that way. Who's in a blue and white dress who might have been playing the trombone? Oh, Hannah, what have you got? Hold it up. Two eggs. Right, come down. Hannah Robinson, climb down. You two go and stand over here. Let's have the McMinn boys next. Okay, who wants to stand on the chair? Daniel's on the chair. Well done, big brother. Right, now I would like you two to find somebody who has got a blue jumper and a white beard. I have to make sure I don't say that the wrong way around. So a blue jumper and a white beard. There are lots of blue jumpers and a few white beards, but who's got both of those things? Over there, right. Go. Go and find him. It is like Guess Who, Paul, you're right. And has he got something for you? You found somebody with a blue jumper and a white beard? Yeah, you've got it. Well done. Okay, Daniel, you can climb down and you go and stand over there. Now then, Lucas and Jonathan, who's going to stand on the chair? I'm going to get Lucas. I think Lucas, you'll be good at shouting out the instructions, so you can stand on the chair. Now, I would like you to find somebody who is wearing a fur waistcoat. Who could possibly be wearing a fur waistcoat? Can you find somebody? You might need some help. Have a look out, Lucas, and see. I'll give you a clue. It's in this half of the room. Somebody is wearing a fur waistcoat. Can you see anybody? He's got something furry on. Who is it? Anna. So, Jonathan, go over to Anna Davis. She's over there that way. Let's see if she's got something for you. Ah, two eggs. Brilliant. Back you come. And Lucas very carefully climbed down. Now, we've got a little situation here, haven't we? Because half of the people have got eggs and half of them haven't. Or at least that was the situation. But these children have been very well brought up because they've preempted my point. Because in actual fact, the second thing that Easter does is it turns our joy... our sadness to joy, weeping to joy. And the second thing is that it turns our seeking, not just to finding, but to sharing. So you can share your two eggs and you can go and sit down. It's melted. Oh. Anna's pockets must have been too warm. Well done. You guys can go and sit down. Seeking is turned to sharing. That's the point. Because that's what Mary's told to do, isn't it? It's not like when she finds Jesus, she just sort of keeps that information to herself. Jesus actually says, you know, just stop hanging on to me. Go and tell my brothers, my other friends, my disciples, that I'm alive. and that I'm soon going to be returning to my Father God. As Don Carson puts it in his commentary on John, and it's always good to quote a Don Carson commentary in a kid's talk, he says, this is a time for joy and for sharing the good news, not for hanging on to Jesus as if he were some jealously guarded private dream come true. See, Mary's supposed to tell the disciples because from this point on in history, the message that Jesus is alive is going to spread across the world as more and more people do what John tells us at the end of the chapter that he wants us to do. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing have life, eternal resurrection life that starts now and goes on forever and ever, life in his name. You see, when you meet the risen Jesus, you want to, you have to share him with others. The news is too good to keep to yourself, right? I mean, the news that death is defeated and Jesus is alive. The news that through Jesus' death and his resurrection, we can call God Father. We can look forward to one day going where Jesus has gone to be with his God and our God forever. I mean, that is too wonderful not to share, isn't it? Weeping is turned to joy and seeking is turned to sharing. That is why Easter is so special. So please do enjoy it. Have a brilliant Easter Sunday. But please do tell others about this great risen Jesus, our teacher, our Lord, and our God. Let's bow our heads and let's pray.